I want your Bible to Romans chapter 8, if you will, please. Romans 8. Going to read verse 26 in just a moment here. As we continue this series of lessons on I Still Believe, appreciate Ben, appreciate the praise band this morning. Some great songs that will go right along with my sermon today. I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul, Romans 8, verse 26. He says, in the same way the Spirit helps in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groans that cannot be expressed. You know, we all have dates that trigger memories for us. Some dates you have circled on your calendar are sources of celebration and joy, you know, birthdays, anniversaries, family reunions, graduations. Other dates embedded in your memory are days that you never wish would have happened. Days that brought heartache and grief. Days that turned your world upside down and changed everything. And you know, we all know those days. And you know those days all too well. Days like when your father walked out of your home. When the divorce papers arrived. When the police knocked on your door. When the biopsy came back positive. When the hospital called to inform you that your loved one didn't make it. I mean, it was on those days when you cried out the loudest, God, where are you? What's happened here? You promised you'd always be with me, and look at this. And if you've ever been there where you felt the wind knocked out of you with one swift kick, then you know that it's difficult to even utter a word to describe what you're going through physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And to do so is like taking a deep breath underwater. I mean, you're just speechless. You don't know what to say. We've all had those days that we wish were never on our calendar. We are in the third lesson of our series, I Still Believe. Based on the heart-rending circumstance in the singer-songwriter Jeremy Camp's life. And if you are also in our Sunday night small group study, you have heard from Jerry Camp himself in a video describe the heartache that he went through when his wife Melissa, of only 3 months, passed away with cancer. And while the movie was being filmed, Jeremy was interviewed by CCM Magazine, contemporary Christian music magazine. And he was asked about his trust in God and His Word while he was going through the most difficult circumstance of his life. And Jeremy replied to the interview, I would read about how God healed in the Gospels, and I would just throw my Bible across the room. He continued, man, I question whether God is a loving God. I mean, in frustration, I would say, I don't want to share in your faithfulness because I don't think you are faithful. And having struggled with his belief, Jeremy said it was a journey. It was a journey for me. There were times that I couldn't even pray. I didn't even know what to pray. It wasn't easy. A lot of grieving, a lot of anger, a lot of just confusion. But God was there every step of the way. Have you ever tried to pray but couldn't? Last week we talked about the word groaning that Paul used in verses 22 and 23 in describing the groaning of creation and also our personal inward groaning for our final redemption when Christ comes to make everything new. But in our lesson today, Paul writes about the groaning of the Holy Spirit. And he speaks of the Holy Spirit interceding for us when we pray to God with hearts so broken that we can't even get out the words. And yet the Holy Spirit groans. He takes our words that we have difficulty expressing, and He speaks to the Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father on our behalf. But unlike the groanings that the creation that we deal with, this isn't a groaning of grief. It's not a groaning of anticipation, but rather it's a groan of understanding and intimacy that he has with God and that we have with the Holy Spirit. Jesus described the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, as our counselor in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 26. And the word paraclete simply means to be called or called alongside. Now that I see that, is alongside one word? I think I messed it up. But that's what it means. It means to be called alongside. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He is there at our side. The Holy Spirit, also referred to as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, lives within us, giving us the strength and the comfort that is needed to face whatever difficult circumstances that come our way in this fallen world. And there are two functions of the Holy Spirit found in this chapter that I want to focus on today that helps us with our present sufferings. And number one is this, that the Holy Spirit testifies that we are God's children. I want you to look at verses 15 through 17 of Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Paul writes, "For you, Christian, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Say that with me. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Do you realize how great it is to be called a child of God? I mean, we were once slaves. We were slaves to sin, but now we are God's children, his sons and daughters. The creator of this universe, the one who just simply spoke everything into existence, is our Abba, Father. Now, the word Abba is an Aramaic word that really, I know what some people say, but really it has no English equivalent. None whatsoever. But it is used in the most endearing and intimate way to describe a child's deep love, respect, and even obedience for his or her dad. That's what that word means. It describes this intimate relationship that we have with God as our Heavenly Father. It's the same word that Jesus used while pouring his heart out to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. The night he was arrested, when he cries out, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done." I mean, the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us, testifies that we are children of God, and what he is simply doing is reminding us of that intimate relationship that we have with God as his children. And whether you are a new Christian or been one for decades, I mean, knowing that you are a child of God should excite you. That we are children of God. In fact, I want you to listen to the Apostle John. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John said this. He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Now, what is so neat about that is when the Apostle John wrote those words, he is the oldest living Christian. He was one of Jesus' first followers and the only one of the 12 still alive. And yet, after all these years, when he thinks about being a child of God, he is ecstatic. He's ecstatic. "I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God." Will you say that with me? "I'm a child of God." Say it like you really mean it. "I'm a child of God." That's who we are. As John says, then that is what we are. And we got to understand how important this is. Brothers and sisters, we should never, ever take for granted that we are God's children, deeply loved by our Abba Father. Amen? Never, never take it for granted. So are you thrilled about being a child of God? Yes. Amen. Yes. Well, wait, because there's more. You see, being God's children also means that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. To be a co-heir with Christ means that whatever belongs to Him belongs to you and me. Whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to us. As God's adopted children and brothers and sisters to Jesus, who, by the way, is the only begotten Son, but we are adopted sons and daughters, we are heirs of the kingdom of God. I want you to consider these passages. I want to keep your Bible marked here, Romans chapter 8, but I want you to turn to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to look at verses 13 to 14. Ephesians 1, verses 13 to 14. Listen to what Paul said. Paul, writing to the Gentile Christians in Ephesus, he said, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. What is that seal? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. I mean, Paul said that because we have been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were given the Holy Spirit, who is our seal, our guarantee that we will receive our inheritance. And what is that inheritance? Well, I want you to turn now over to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to Peter. He says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth when we became a child of God, and a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance. Notice what he said. An inheritance that never can perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter tells us that we have our inheritance waiting for us in heaven. Amen? But you know what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 20? He said that we are already citizens of heaven. I mean, this inheritance is ours. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And what an inheritance that is. In 1982, I was able to meet and have lunch with Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, when I was asked to come pray God's blessings to be up on a new store that was opening in the small town where I was preaching. And the manager of that town was a member of our church, and he asked me to come and pray. And he says, and I got a special guest that's coming that day. I didn't know until I got there, but there was Sam Walton. And Sam Walton, I mean, he was really a nice guy, really down to earth. He told me that he was an elder of the Presbyterian Church. He asked me a little bit about the Church of Christ. He said, aren't you the church that don't believe in instruments? I mean, that's what he knew about us of the Church of Christ. But here he is, Sam Walton, again, really a nice guy. When I said I had lunch with him, it was me and all the employees. You know, we were all in one room having sandwiches. But was able to sit down with him and Gary Melton, and as he talked a little bit about his life. The first Walmart store that he opened was in Rogers, Arkansas, in 1962 with borrowed money. And by the time that he passed away in 1982, just 10 years after I met him, he was worth over $8 billion, which his oldest son, Robert, inherited. I mean, that's quite an inheritance, right? $8 billion dollars. I mean, how many zeros is that? How many zeros is that, Don? Bunch. Okay, bunch. There you go. I figured that. But here is what he inherited, $8 billion. But guess what? Yours and my inheritance as God's children and co-heirs with Christ is infinitely better. And I mean, one day we will hear Christ say to those of us who have given our lives to Him, and in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, He will say, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Christ said, one day you are going to move into your heavenly kingdom. You're going to move there and live there. I will take the kingdom of God over Walmart and Corporation any day. How about you? I mean, my kingdom is eternal, that cannot fade. Or cannot be destroyed in any form or fashion. My inheritance is eternal, and it's mine and it's yours. Why? Because we are children of God. Amen? We are God's children. But then secondly, another function here, I want us to go back now into the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. Listen to what Paul says here, verse 26 and 27. Again, Paul said in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, for you and me, in accordance with God's will. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the Holy Spirit's specialty is to be with you and me when we are at our weakest. He is called alongside us during those difficult times. I mean, his best work is done on our worst days. And I want you to understand, when we talk about this, even though we cannot see Him, as Ben just illustrated a while ago, I mean, He is right there living inside us. He is there. And this is not, "I hope so," "Well, I hope that's happening," or "Wouldn't it be great if?" This is a fact. Because believe me, Brenda and I would not be here today if it wasn't for God's Spirit giving us the strength and comfort during the worst day of our lives. And He sustained us when it could have been so easy just to give up. Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about? Because brother and sister, He was with you during your worst day also. Whatever it is, whatever that day was, whatever heartache you experience, you are here this morning because the Holy Spirit was there with you on that day, helping you and giving you strength during your weakest moment. You know, the Holy Spirit intimately connects with our heart and our spirit to provide whatever it is that we need at that moment. I mean, if we need to cry, He's right there comforting us. If we need to scream, He's right there understanding our hurt and our frustration. Even in our moments of doubt, the Holy Spirit is patiently assuring us that God is not only with us now, but He is always with us no matter what we go through in this fallen world. And when we can't pray, well, the Holy Spirit speaks to the Father on our behalf. I think most of us have been through some heart-rending situations that had made it very difficult for us to pray. Am I right about that? Have you been through something like that? Maybe there was a time in your life when you didn't even know what to pray. In February 1983, my mother lied in a Midwest City, Oklahoma hospital dying. And she was in a semi-comatose condition for 3 weeks before passing away. She was a severe diabetic. Her organs were shutting down. And when it first happened, my family, my dad, my brothers and sisters, and our families, you know, gathered together. We held hands and we began to pray. And in our prayer, you know, was that mom would come out of this coma, and that everything's going to be all right. You know, we've all prayed those prayers, haven't we? And she had done it before. She had been in a coma before. She came out of it. But this time she'd just lie there. Sometimes she would talk out of her head. Other times she would just groan in agony. But our prayers continued. God, let her be all right. You know, let her be all right. Give her more time. After 2 weeks, they had to bring in a special mattress filled with sand because mom developed festering, painful bed sores. And this new mattress was supposed to help alleviate the problem. And so we prayed on, you know, God, let this be the day. Let this be the day that she wakes up. On the third week, we began to question our prayers. In fact, we didn't even know how to pray anymore, what to pray for. And our prayers finally turned from God, make her well, to God, please, please take her home. Please take her home. And I see some of you shaking your head because you've been there, haven't you? You've prayed those same prayers. But maybe, perhaps there was a time when you simply couldn't pray. Maybe you faced such a traumatic ordeal that the word just didn't come out and you began, oh God, please. And that's just as far as you got. And you just sat there crying uncontrollably. I mean, I certainly went through that when our son Stephen was put on a ventilator. And he went into cardiac arrest twice during that process. I mean, I had already pleaded with God over and over and over to make our son well. But finally, it got to the point where I just couldn't utter any more words. And I tried, but my grief just took over. Have you been there? Or sometimes words just don't rightly express our emotions. We know what we desperately need, but we just don't know how to ask God for it. And we pray, and our words just seem to fall so short. But that's when the Holy Spirit comes along at our side and takes those uncertain and sometimes reluctant words and those heartfelt but unspoken thoughts, and he brings them up to the Father. Now, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say. In fact, he groans for us. And God takes the groans of the Holy Spirit, words that came from our heart, and he answers our prayers and according to his divine wisdom. You see, God sees things that we do not see. And we may not see it. And we may not understand it. But God always, always, say that word, always. Say it, always. Say it one more time. Always. God will always, he always knows best. Always. And he does what is best for us. I mean, after all, we are his kids. Parents, don't we do what is best for our kids? We love our kids. And we do what is best. And as hard as it is for us to understand and accept at the time, and as hard as it was for me to accept at the time, I know that God was looking out for my son. And he knew what was best and good for Stephen, that I just simply could not see. But God can see it. And not only that, when the Holy Spirit takes our garbled prayers and he speaks to God on our behalf, I mean, they sound like an angelic choir to God. I mean, when you don't know what to pray, or the words don't come out the way that you want to, or the way you need to express them, friends, brothers and sisters, don't think for one moment that God doesn't know your heart, that God doesn't know what is going on. I mean, the Holy Spirit, your indwelling comforter, will make sure that God hears every spoken and unspoken word. I know that there have been difficult times in your life when you have questioned if God is here. Is God here? Let's probably get that slide. And this has been our question. God, are you here? I mean, yet we have the promise. We have the promise in Hebrews 13 verse 5 where God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And yet we still wonder, God, are you here? And right now, if you can't hear Him over the wailing, it does not mean that God isn't here. I mean, just because you can't see Him through the tears doesn't mean that God isn't here. But just because you are weak and your weakness overwhelms you at times does not mean that God isn't here. God is here. Say that with me. God is here. Do you believe it? And He will never let us down. Never. Never. Oh, the world will look at that and the world will say, look how He let you down. Look how He let you down, Fred and Brenda. Look how He let you down. You prayed for your son to get well and he didn't. Look how He let you down. But I want you to know God never let us down. We have that promise that my son moved from the loft, that loft where he stayed, moved from that loft and to his eternal inheritance. It's His. It's His. And He said, Dad, Mom, I can't wait till you're here. It's His. And we've got to believe this very thing. Because God loves us so much. And He cares for us deeply. I mean, that's why He has given us His Spirit to come alongside of us. To live within us. To be there to help us. To love us. To serve us. During those difficult times that we face in this life, God is here. God is here. We're going to be singing an invitation song. During this invitation song, it's your opportunity once again just to look deep within your own soul. I mean, this series of lessons, I still believe. It's all about dealing with difficult circumstances in our lives. And knowing that God is still there and that God helps us through them all. And yet there are those who allow circumstances, those difficult circumstances, to cause them to doubt. Just as Jeremy Camp did himself. That he began to doubt the faithfulness of God. And it took some time for him to work through that. But don't you know that the Holy Spirit was still right there? Come alongside him and helping him through it all. Don't you know that God understood that hurt, that pain that he was going through, even when he throws his Bible across the room and says, I don't believe in you. I don't believe it because you haven't been faithful to me. The Holy Spirit was right there through it all. And then finally he picks up a guitar and he writes this song, I Still Believe. And when you say, I still believe, I mean, that word still means, man, even though it's been tough, even though it's been difficult, even though when I just feel like giving up, I still believe. And I know I might not see it, I might not understand it, but I still believe. Can we pray for you today?